Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. This is the second week of 2021. Can you believe that? I mean, it has been already 9 days and a lot happened already, especially what happened in Washington, D.C. just a few days ago. You know, it's very devastating to see those type of events. Now, when you see very difficult thing in front of your eyes to process, how do you connect the dots? Now, that really frustrates me personally. I mean, does that frustrate you as well? I'm sure it does. Why? Because it is so hard, again, to connect the dots. We know what is good here, right? But we see what's happening in the world, and this doesn't really come together, right? When it doesn't come together, it's really frustrating. And we already saw it this new year, and we're going to see it continually as long as we live in this world. Now, what about the spirituality and with the Christian life? Of course, the Christian life itself cannot be separated from Christian faith. But many times, we see difficulties in connecting those two dots, like a Christian faith and Christian life. It's sometimes, or many times, it looks like it's going separately, right? People believe in this way, but they don't believe. I mean, they don't live in that way. They do really good on Sundays, but on Monday through Saturday, their life is totally different from what they say and what they sing, right? And that's the connection problem that we see every day. So I want to challenge you today. I want to invite you today as we delve into the Word of God, and we're going to go through the book of Colossians. What a wonderful, it's a short book, but it's a so profound book. So I'm very excited, and I want you to be excited too as well, so that we can learn a lot from here. So what I really pray today specifically is this, that God, the Holy Spirit, would help you to connect the dots, like Christian faith and Christian life, and how can it be connected together. Now, we're going to go into the Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verses 13 through 25. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So now, what does it say in verse 13? He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So verse 13 and 14 is like an introduction. First, he says, who is he? God rescued us. From where? From domain of darkness. To where? To the kingdom of his beloved. And what do we have? We have redemption. This shows us the very big truth. The two things. First, where we are. Second, what we have. Where we are, it says, we are in the kingdom of God. We used to be in the kingdom of the darkness and all the evil, but now we are in the kingdom of God where God is. And what do we have? We have the citizenship of Christ Jesus, of course, in the kingdom of God. But what does it say in this text? It says we have the redemption. So this is the introductory statement, where we are and what we have. But we need to know, how did it happen? How is it possible? And the most importantly, who did all these things? Why are you in the kingdom of God? And why do you have the redemption? A lot of people do not make the connection. That's where a lot of problem happen. They just say, yeah, I'm going to heaven. But if I ask you, why? What's the reason? And then they say, God, Jesus, the Sunday school answer. That is, oh yes, it is true, but that is not enough. We need to make a deep connection to really strengthen your faith. Look at verse 15. It shows who he is. Who is the one who made you to be in the kingdom of God? And second question, how did he do that? So let's look at this very important statement. Who is he? He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. What does that sound like? You know, God created Adam and Eve in the image of God, right? And also Adam and Eve, they were the firstborn of all the humanity, right? So it's almost like a human, but it says in the verse 16, for by him, who is in Jesus, for by Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created. Wow, let's stop here, right here. For by him, through him, so through Jesus, Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ himself, he created all these things that you see and even the things that you do not see. What does that tell you? Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator. Now, if you're in the 365 empowerment, you are probably familiar with this verse already, like through him and for him. And what is that language? In 1 Corinthians 8, 6. Great job. And in that verse also says, also affirms that Jesus is more than a human, right? More than a prophet, more than a teacher. Yes, he was 100% human, but also he was 100% God. Why? Because he is the creator. So it really shows that Jesus is divinity. Humanity, divinity, perfectly coming together. That is who our Jesus is. Okay? And let's continue in verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. What does it tell you? He is beyond the time. Now we are limited by our time. That's why we are born and we die, right? We go back to the earth. However, Jesus Christ is before all these things happen, and that shows that Jesus is transcendent. He is beyond the time. He is in control of time. In verse 18, he is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. So what does that really tell you? Jesus' supremacy. Jesus is beyond all things, not just a human and all this, but even beyond the time and place, space. That is how great Jesus is. Some religions undermine, despise Jesus' divinity, and they say Jesus is just a human being, and he is a little more superhuman, like a superhero. And that is so wrong. It is a heresy. It is totally fallacy. It is lie from Satan. The Bible clearly tells us today that Jesus is beyond human being. He is God himself. He is supreme. Now, what does that really tell you? You know, I don't know about you, but this really gives me freedom from all these political agendas that we see, that I see in the media. Some people say we need to have this type of president, and some other people say we need to have this president, we need to have this king or queen, and we need to have this ideology, all of that. But politics is important. Don't misunderstand me. It is important. However, it is not supreme. We have the supreme leader. Who is he? Jesus Christ. We need to focus on him. We should not focus on the human king. And we should not do any violence just because for the sake of human king. We have the king. So let our focus to be on Jesus Christ, who is our creator and who is our sustainer. And he is the means of life, and he is the purpose of life, because it says through him and for him. Everything exists for him. We are here for Jesus Christ, and he is our king. And then let's continue with verse 19 through 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, we learned about who Jesus is. He is the Creator. He is beyond the time. He is the Supreme King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is above all things. Now, the question is, what did he do for us? And how did he save us? Right? Because in the beginning, we saw that we have the redemption. We are in the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, we want to know how. The answer is this: through the blood of his cross. So now let's make the connection here. Yes, we are in the kingdom and we have the redemption, but it's not cheap. It's not a coincidence, but it is the perfect power of God, Jesus Christ, who is supreme. But the way how he did was amazing, because it says through the cross, through the blood of himself that he shed on the cross. It's amazing. It says, it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself. Jesus Christ, the Supreme King, who is God, who is the Creator, by his good pleasure, he reconciled things. Now see, the reconcile is another word, I would say the connection. He is connecting all this brokenness together through the blood of Jesus Christ. Things in heavens and things in earth and all these things, all the brokenness is being put together in him and through him. I think this is a very significant truth for many of us, to all of us. Now, in the beginning, I asked the question, we need to make a connection, because we see the brokenness everywhere. We see the separation. We see the discrepancies all around the world, even in our life. We believe in this and we act in this way. Where is the connection? Where is the reconciliation? Now, Jesus made that reconciliation, and he is the only way, only solution to that reconciliation. So without the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross, there is no true reconciliation. There is no true connection together. And even in our life, if we do not have the blood of Jesus Christ, we cannot truly connect the dots together. You know, I mentioned about how I grew up in a Christian family. I was living like a Christian boy, basically. You know, I was singing and in the church and I was doing everything that I was required to do in the church. But I did not have any connection in my heart and in my knowledge, in my mind. I read the Bible so many times, but what I heard and what I learned stayed here. It did not make a connection with here, with my heart. And in September 2000, when I was reading Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died once for all my sins, and he did not have to shed so many blood to wash my sins over and over and over again, because Jesus' blood is perfect. It is enough to forgive all my sins, not just my sins, but all the other people's sins as well. So Jesus' blood is that powerful, and that moment the knowledge became my life, became the power. It made a connection. It made a perfect sense in my heart. That day I was saved and I was forgiven of my sins. You see, this is the power of a connection. If you have not made a connection in your life, then you need to pray right now and pray that, God, please reveal yourself to me. Please help me to make this connection. Please make the connection in my life right now. I have learned my Bible. I have listened to this sermon so many times, but I still cannot make the connection in my life. Father, please come in my heart, come into my heart and make the connection for me. Do that. You need to do that right now, so that God, the Holy Spirit, can make the connection in your heart, so that what you believe will not be just the thinking, but what you believe will be the true faith that will generate you and that will shape you and that will lead you to himself more and more each day. You need that connection today. And how is it possible? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. So you need to plead that connection. You need to plead that blood of Jesus Christ in your heart. God, please help me. God, please let your Holy Spirit, let your blood of Jesus Christ to reconcile in my heart. Okay, now we have learned so far that who Jesus is and what he has done. Jesus is supreme, but through his cross, he made the connection. He made the reconciliation. Now, to do that, we need to understand who we are. Why do we need to be reconciled, right? That's a good question. So that's the next part that we're going to read. So let's read from verses 21 through 25. It says in the verse 21, although, what does it say? You were previously alienated and hostile in attitude, engaged in evil deeds. Okay, this is the reality of who you are. Okay, no matter how, no matter what background you're from, you engaged in evil deeds. We are sinners and we have been alienated from, we have been separated from the life of God, just as we see Isaiah 52 verse 9, right? But here is the good news in verse 22, yet, very key word, yet he, God has now reconciled you in his body of flesh through death on the cross in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Okay, so this is the good news. We were sinful, we are sinners, and we had no hope. We were separated from God, so that's why we cannot make any connection, because we were separated. But God reconciled you. We cannot reconcile ourselves to God, but he has to do it, and he did that. God has now reconciled you in his body of flesh through his cross. Okay? Now, here is the important sentence that we should not neglect. In verse 23, it says, if, this is a big if indeed you, what does it say? Continue. Again, let's say this word together. Continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Do you remember last week we studied about endurance? Starting is important, but finishing it well is more important. So critical. A lot of Christians do not make that connection. They think that starting is good and baptism is good and all this fanfare is good in the beginning, but you know, they just somehow drift away and they think it's okay because it's all about God's grace and you know, God saved me anyway, so I can just live whatever I want to live. Once I'm saved, I'm saved. It sounds so biblical, but in their life, it's not. They have not made that connection yet. The connection is right here. Listen very carefully. It says, if you continue in your faith, if you do not drift away from the hope of the gospel, then the reconciliation is really yours. And let me put it this way. Since we are reconciled back to God, right, through his work on the cross, now we are with him. Now if we are truly with him, then he is so good. We do not want to leave him. We do not want to come back to this dirty and corrupted world, right? That just makes sense. Doesn't it make any sense? So that we will live our life being with the Lord continually, no matter what happened in the world. But if you do not make the connection, you may think this way. You know, the world is fine. You know, I just want to live my life just like my friends. And slowly, unconsciously, you can drift away from that. Be careful with that. And that is not the gospel. That is not the Bible. That's not our God teaching you today. That's not how the Bible teaching you today. The Bible clearly teaches that we need to endure. We need to continue in the gospel. Well, these days, whenever I see my Facebook feed and you know, some of my friends who used to be Christians, they are drifting away. They are not walking with the Lord. And they say, very clearly say, you know, I'm not walking with my faith anymore. They proudly say that. And I don't know about in America, but in Korea, there's a new cool Do you know what that new cool is in Korea? It's atheism. Like, I used to be a Christian, but I think it's all hoax and it's just a fairy tale. And who would believe in those type of things, that Jesus being raised from the dead, virgin birth? Forget about it, you know, it's not really true. But you know what? It's not in Korea only. I saw several times in last year among big Christian church pastors in America as well. They used to be a mega church pastor, but they're not only pastor, but they're not walking with God anymore. But you know what? This is already predicted. In the end time, there will be a lot of people will grow cold. What does that mean? They will not be walking with God anymore. So this is already prophesied in the Bible. So this is not surprising. This should not surprise you. My concern is this. I don't want you to be one of them. I don't want me to be one of them. I want us all to persevere and endure and continue in this gospel faith. The world is not an easy place. There will be a temptation. Satan is devouring anybody that he wants. He wants to, right? So we have to be very careful. We have to be awakened. We have to be on alert, okay? But the good news is Jesus already won the victory. So we need to put our faith and trust in him so that we can walk in him. We can continue our faith in him. So every day we need to pray. Every day we need to in the word of God. So I want to encourage you to be a part of 365 Empowerment. It is not just about, you know, memorizing scripture and, you know, enlarging our brain mind. No, it is really to fight the battle together with his word and prayer. So I want to encourage you to participate in that. But even when you do that, you have to be very careful that you will not just do it with your own strength, but you need to pray really hard that God would empower you to continue in this faith. So let me put them all together. We need to make the connection. And if you don't make that connection, your faith would be very weakened, okay? What is that connection? That we need to know who we are, that we are sinful, we are weak. But God, Jesus is supreme. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he died on the cross to forgive our sins. So if you continue in his faith, then you will experience this powerful power of reconciliation continually in your life. So let's make that connection. And then that connection will make impact in our life, that our Christian walk would be evident in our life, no matter how the world turns against Christ, turns against us. So let's do this together. And let's remember what the Colossians was teaching us. Let's read this passage over and over again. This is a jewel. And this really gives us direction how we should live a life. So let's pray together for his glory. Father, we thank you so much for making this connection in our life, in our heart. But Father, I pray that whoever listens to this message would be able to make the connection by your power so that their life, their Christian life, would not be at a loss, but they will be focused, they will be strengthened, and so that they will be able to live their life in your power. So Father, please help them and guide them, Lord. Father, we thank you, praise you in Jesus' holy name. I prayed, amen.